Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring breaking beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hey, Colleen, it's that time of the month again.
You mean when we release a new episode of The Glowdown?
Yeah, that too, but it's also the time when I usually have a couple of pesky zits pop up on my chin.
Oh, yeah, but I don't see anything.
That's because I've discovered a vegan, cruelty-free, and organic three-step acne solution that uses tea tree oil as the main ingredient. It's called Kiva Organics.
90s throwback ingredient. I love it.
Yeah, so what you do is you start with the face wash, moisturize with the tea tree acne cream, and then apply the serum. It helps disinfect and dry out zits the natural way.
Wait, can Kiva be used on my sensitive skin?
Yeah, it doesn't leave your skin all flaky like some other potent acne ingredients can. And the affordable system is also sold separately with a money-back guarantee.
What? That's wicked. Well, I understand our friends at Kiva are offering Breaking Beauty listeners a coupon code. Use Breaking Beauty 20 to get 20% off at kivaorganics.com.
Exclusively for our U.S. listeners, you'll find that discount code in our show notes to make Kiva's three-step all-natural acne system part of your everyday routine.
You know what they say, friends who cycle together, stay together.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Glowdown. We are your hosts. I'm Jill.
And I'm Carlene.
It's summer. It's a million frickin' degrees. My waterproof makeup is working overtime. Carlene, how are you feeling?
I think you can tell by my voice that I am down and out with yet another sinus infection.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been blessed.
Sad.
And it's perfect for podcast host.
I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. I hope I do too. I'm starting to get depressed, but we're not going to go to that dark place.
No,
right
we
now.
Are not, because it is time. It is hot outside. So we're going to explore some hot, hot topics in beauty.
Let's do it. There is so much happening right now in beauty, and there's a lot of really important discussions around inclusivity and representation mm-hmm. and what beauty really even means these yep. days. Mm-hmm. You know, that term can be so loaded. So we really feel like it's important to talk about more than just product launches and brand founders, which we love. But we wanted to open up our doors to chat with some new friends.
Yeah. And we had a little roundtable discussion. Mm-hmm. We invited three more women to weigh in on all of these hot topics. We were actually around your dining room table mm-hmm. eating some incredible snacks.
Well, thank you.
You put on a good spread.
Thank you. And thank you, No Frills, for supplying all of that.
Everyone was going ape shit over those like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cookies. What were they?
I don't know.
They were so good. And the coffee you had, it was really good. You impressed me. So first up, we're going to introduce our guests.
Today, you're going to be hearing from YouTube beauty vlogger Aisha Abdul. Aisha has 200,000 subscribers, and this is taken straight from her bio. Aisha acts as a voice for a largely underrepresented audience of women of color and women who wear a headscarf, and creates content to empower all women. What I can tell you, having sat down with Aisha, I think her real power is she has almost like a big sister presence about her.
Even though she's 22.
Yeah. She's got this kind of wisdom. So I think people want to listen to what she has to say.
Yeah.
She,
and her makeup style is like so, it's relatable, but aspirational. Yeah, and exactly. She's gotten the attention of Bustle and BuzzFeed, and she's appeared as a featured creator with YouTube Canada as well as at VidCon in LA, and she's spoken on panels about diversity in beauty and in the YouTube space. So we're really happy to have her with us today.
She's like a role model.
Yeah.
We're also welcoming Toronto model Bree Ahmed, who was recently part of a powerful campaign called Every Woman. That campaign had a goal to revitalize the face of Canadian fashion, to challenge the status quo of imagery in Canadian media. And it was produced by a former model named Jessica Lewis. I've worked with her before. Yeah. Hey, Jess.
And all of the women were in their underwear. They were wearing NYX wear and all shapes, all sizes, all shades, very inclusive, unretouched. It's fantastic. We'll link to it on our website.
And it was also in support of CAMH.
Yeah. An incredible cause.
Bravo.
And we, you know, and Brie as a model, I've bumped into her before many times backstage at the Marilyn Dennis show. And she also does modeling on The Social, which is another national lifestyle talk show. And she is a budding journalist.
Yeah. And last but never least, she's written for Cosmopolitan, Mary Claire, Rookie. She's the host of Nobody Cares Except For Me podcast, and her book of essays, also called Nobody Cares, is coming out in September. Her name is Anne T. Donahue.
Yeah, and her book, very exciting. It's been blurbed, you know, those little reviews on the back of the book jacket by podcast host and author Dolly Alderton from the UK and Emma Gannon. And Flair magazine has called Anne the internet's best friend. She even has high praise in high places from the likes of Gabourey Sidibe, who also gave her a blurb on her book. And Gabourey is the actor and author of This Is Just My Face. And she said about Anne's book, Anne T. Donahue's thoughtful book is hilarious and honest. It makes me uncomfortable in the most brilliant and relatable way.
And exciting news, we have done a pod swap with Anne. So stay tuned this fall when you'll hear Jill and I on Anne's podcast on the topic of bottom shelf beauty products. I think it's very worthwhile. It's the ugly gems still worth hoarding. They really work.
These are the ones you're never going to photograph, but damn, do they work.
Yeah. They're like down in the cupboard by your toilet paper.
Yeah. So we'll link to all of our guests' social media handles on our website, breakingbeautypodcast.com. And of course, we'd love to hear your feedback about all of these hot topics we're discussing today. You can join our private Facebook group, Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room. You can search for that. Or you know what? Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you thought of the show. If you want, just leave us 5 stars. We'll take it too.
So today you're going to hear about some hot topics in beauty. We will be discussing inclusivity versus tokenism, what works, what's kind of obvious that it's all marketing.
Yeah.
We'll be chatting about body positivity and how many of us are grappling with wanting to stand for every body is beautiful and then secretly being like, I kind of want to lose 10 pounds though.
Yeah, but it's not so secret. I think it's just a daily struggle of most women.
Yeah. And by the way, we recorded this before Beyonce's FUPA statement in Vogue. Of course, by now, everybody knows FUPA stands for fat upper, I'm going to say pubic area. That's the PG-13 version.
Very PG.
And I just want to be clear. I also stand with Beyonce. 1 year after giving birth, I wasn't questioning my weight. I wasn't doing crunches. I was like, I love it. I earned it. You know, it was 4 years later when I realized my muscles had torn. That's a different condition called diastasis recti. When no matter how much you work out or try to eat right, you still look 5 months pregnant. That's what bothers me. Okay. So let's not get them confused. The last thing I need is for Beyonce's army coming at me. Okay.
Yes. Because you stand clarified. and of course, we couldn't let our guests go without asking them what's on their top shelf, what they're loving. So
here it is. Let's talk about what's hot.
one last question before we get started. Is that a picture of Amanda Marshall on your wall?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Because I wish that it was.
It's Amanda Marshall.
You know the singer. I believe in you.
No.
You do know her. She's like the 90s. It's the 90s. You guys
I wouldn't know.
This is
no.
A, this
no,
is
no, I'm old. I'm in the I was in the 90s.
But this is like adult contemporary 1994. Oh, so I'd be like
actually I kind of do recognize.
Okay.
It'd be like when you're in the dentist chair.
Correct. Like, or like with your aunt running errands and you're just like this is grown up, I guess. This is what it's like.
Yeah.
This is my lifestyle.
Exactly.
Why don't we start first with Bree? So Bree, we're going to get you to please introduce yourself. Tell us your name, what you do, and where people can find you, like on social media.
So my name is Bree. My real name is Burritu, so a lot of people know me as that as well. But I go by Bree just to kind of help people out because I've been called Burrito, Dorito, just a whole bunch of stuff. I am a plus-size model, I don't think I'm an influencer, but I've met people that tell me that I am, which is really dope, I think. So my social media, Instagram, I don't have Twitter, only Instagram. It's BreeBXOX. My little cousin made it for me, so don't laugh, back in 2011, so it's really old. When I was living in New York, actually, the most cliche story ever, I was walking down the street and some guy's like, are you a model? And this is before the whole body positivity movement was happening. And I looked at him and I was like laughing in his face because I'm like, do you see what I look like? And he's like, but you're beautiful. And I was like, okay, but I'm big. And he's like, so? He's like, you could be a plus size model. So I didn't really take him in. I came back. I got fired from my job. I was working at Capital One. I got fired. And then I started a YouTube channel a while back, but then I lost the password to it, which is really sad because I actually had some pretty
real
good
talk.
Videos. Yeah, and I've been trying to get it back recently, but yeah, so I would like to create my own content once I'm done school and kind of focus on that. And I'm really outspoken on Instagram about, you know, being vulnerable and just really showing people that there's nothing wrong with being kind and having these vulnerabilities, especially with social media now. Everybody wants to be a savage. Everybody wants to be tough and this and that, but it's like, we're all human. So it's just representation because I'm darker skinned. I am also Muslim and I am plus size. So I tick off quite a few boxes. Yeah. So yeah, just kind of showing that everybody's beautiful.
Tell us who you are.
So my name is Aisha and I'm a YouTube / social media content creator. My YouTube name is Aisha Abdul, A-Y-S-H-A Abdul. And then all my socials are Aisha Haroon at A-Y-S-H-A-H-A-R-U-N. And so I've been doing social media for a little over a year and a half full time right now. But I started my YouTube channel back in 2011, back in high school. And it's just, I mean, it's been amazing. I really love providing representation for women who look like me, women of color, women who wear the hijab, and just like sending out a message that like we're here. I love beauty. I love lifestyle. I love everything about that. And, you know, there's no reason there shouldn't be a place for someone who looks like me in the media.
And finally, last but not least, we have Anne T. Donahue.
Hi.
Hi. So, Anne, you and I go way back.
So, you were like my first, or I think you were like my second editor ever.
Yeah. So, we met in 2010.
Yeah.
Which seems so long ago now.
You were an intern at the time?
I was basically writing for $5 a piece. I'd say that's an internship.
Oh, yeah. A very awkward imbalance of power happening right here.
It was, we worked for 29 Secrets together.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Can you tell everybody what the T, Anne T. Donahue, is all about?
Toast. No, it is Teresa, very Catholic upbringing, Irish Lithuanian Catholic, very strict and very like, Anne Teresa Donahue. I sound like I'm ready to potato famine right at you, actually. We're like seconds away from like me going on board a steamship and starting off for a new life.
Tell everybody what you've been up to since then and what you're doing now.
Man,
you have a podcast.
I do have a podcast. I have a book coming out. The book is called Nobody Cares. It's a book of essays and it deals with fun stuff. And then it also deals with a lot of heavier stuff. Like there's a lot of mental health in it. There's a lot of conversations about addiction and alcoholism, which I thank God I've been 5 years sober a couple of months ago.
Yay.
And now the sheen has worn off. Nobody gives a shit. There's other, it's fine. So it's fun to have a very personal essay book and then try to use those things as conversations that are a little bit bigger. And then using my own mistakes and fuck ups as here we go. It's the last thing I am is a perfect person. Believe it. But right now it's working as much as possible, writing as much as possible, getting ready for the launch, which is September 18th at the Drake. So come on, come all. Mm-hmm. Please buy my book. Please, Jesus Christ, buy my book.
And your podcast is called Nobody Cares also.
It's true.
We were guests on it. It should air sometime.
It's going to air, I believe, in September. Yeah. I like that podcast too because everybody comes in. Like, no episode's ever the same. You'll have somebody coming in because they talk about something or they're obsessed with. So, like, there'll be, like, my friend Miguel who talks about YouTube cooking tutorials. And then you'll have, like, Kiva this week talked about like Agnes Varda and then you guys talking about beauty products and it's like never ever the same and then conversations that go into like much bigger themes like vulnerability and a lot of people like we kind of spill our guts on there a lot of the time where it's like here's some hard ways I've lived and then I think that makes people feel a little less alone. So I try to use my work to make people feel a little bit less alone.
Yeah.
And also to be more like we're all in this shit storm together because let's be honest, it's cold and bleak out there. So we might as well be like, all right, build more with more people and everybody as opposed to being like, here's how to live.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell anyone how to live.
And yesterday you went viral one of your tweets. Can you tell everybody what happened?
I don't understand. Like sometimes, all the tweets that I've ever done super well are always when I'm like halfway asleep and I'm like, meh. And then like I wake up and then it's just like, I see. So this one was, I said, I think it was something like, I'm never more delusional than when I buy a new planner and think I'm going to like, it's going to fix the world, which is true. Like, I'll buy a planner. I'm like, well, this is it. My life is perfect. And then Lucy Hale found it. And everybody found it. There's been a couple. There's also that Meryl Streep one where Bette Midler retweeted it last year. It was when Meryl Streep gave that speech and she condemned Trump. And I was like, imagine what a fuck up you'd have to be for like Meryl Streep to use her lifetime achievement thing. And then everyone's like, meh. I've had other viral things that haven't been as fun though, which you're like, this is incredibly bad.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, every so often you'll tweet something that's like, during the election there was some political stuff and then all of a sudden the alt-right blogs found me and then they passed a photo around of me debating whether or not I was worth sexually assaulting or not.
Wow. What?
So no. That was fun.
Oh my God.
But it's weird. It happens once and then you doesn't hurt ever again when it does happen. So you understand that like, the trade-off is, I mean, what am I going to do? Not use it for something important?
That's true.
Or like use it to elevate somebody else? Exactly. It's like, and then fine, if you want to come after me, go fuck yourself. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll start with some fun stuff. Guys, Kylie Jenner's 21st birthday is going to be happening by the time this episode airs. So what do you guys make of her glow down with her lip like deflating? She's not getting them done anymore.
But she redid them. Yeah, she redid them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she had them already.
She had them taken out for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next day they were just back to Jay-Z again. They're exactly. Just big. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I think she just deflated them because they were like, I don't know if you noticed, but there was like a strange like divot. They just looked very big. Mm-hmm. So she like deflated them and then she just got them slightly more natural. I'm very much like, you know, do what you want. But I think the whole thing that is just a little alarming now is that, mm-hmm. you know, there a lot of people are growing up on social media. A lot of children mm-hmm. are growing up on social media, seeing people like Kylie Jenner, you know, like, mm-hmm. their idols getting so much plastic surgery. And okay, if you want to change something about you, like I am in no position to say that you can't, but I've been seeing like videos on YouTube now of girls coming out and being like, you know, I was very influenced by all these social media stars and I've gotten plastic surgery because of that. And then it actually became an addiction. Yeah. So they were like, oh my God, like I love how my lips look now. Like I wonder if I could change like this little divot in my face mm-hmm. by like putting fillers in, or you know, one boob is sagging, so let me fix that mm-hmm. too. And like it just became an addiction.
Yeah, that happens.
And yeah, so I think it's a conversation that needs to be done, like especially if you have like a child, a daughter that's kind of going through that now. You can be like, you know what, it's your choice, but at the same time they have to know the risks, and then also be like, don't get addicted to it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what I was going to say is I feel like Botox is different than other cosmetic surgeries because you're not changing anything about you in terms of your feature. You're just kind of trying to rewind time, I feel like. I don't
rewind it.
Yeah.
Back further. 20 years, please.
So
like it's still you, right?
It's still you. But I also kinda wish that people weren't doing plastic surgeries just because of the fact of you are trying to change your body to make society feel better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But society's standards of beauty. And that kind of upsets me because it's like, by not doing it, you're kind of saying fuck you to everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's saying that this is what's beautiful. This is what you should look like. But then again, you know, it's I don't know. It's very difficult. I think to each his own, especially with the lips nowadays. I feel like a lot of girls are just overdoing
it.
It's
a trend. Yeah.
It's a trend, but it's crazy trend. Because I was just at a model job and the makeup artist was doing my makeup and she's like, you would look so good if you got your lips done.
What?
Where?
What?
No.
I'm like, what?
Okay, side note for anyone listening. She has the most beautiful, like luscious, amazing lips.
I was like, okay, well, thank you so much. But
when
I was
the
like,
mic is off, I need to know the makeup artist's name.
Yeah, right?
Like, I really do.
Drag them to hell.
I was like, wait, what? I'm like, wait, you think I should do it? She's like, yeah. She's like, they're not as full as they could be. She's
what on earth?
I'm dying right now.
And I was kind of like, okay, sure.
That's crazy.
I also think of like my what? One of my best friends and I were talking about this the other day where she's 37, turning 38 or something, and I'm turning 33 this year. And there are like, I can tell now that I have like there's certain things on my face that I'm like, oh, this is your face now. You've like, I've got more under eye things and I can like, there's crow's feet and I have a frown line, which I'm actually like, good. Now you can see how much shit I have to fucking put up with. I'm constantly looking at my phone like, are you kidding? Like, and I kind of like that my face tells that kind of a story. Because it's like, I have lived some years quite hard and it's like, just throw it on the face. It just look fine. You get to see that like, you're like, I've dealt with bullshit and I've done this and this and that. So it's like, I'm just going to wear it and you can look at it.
I want to ask you, Brie, I know that you were kind of speaking about acceptance and inclusivity. You were recently involved in the Every Woman campaign.
Yes, I
was. Can you tell us, everybody who's listening, what that is and what it was in support of?
Yeah, so the Every Woman campaign was basically Jess Lewis. She contacted and reached out to a whole bunch of us. And it's women.
She's a former model who I've worked with in the past.
I love her. She's the best. She's so badass. She has this adorable baby. But anyways, it was an amazing campaign. So it was a bunch of us and it was women of all different colors, sizes. And there was also a woman that was transgendered, which I think was amazing because there's not that much representation of transgendered women. And I just thought it was dope to have so many different types of women. And it was bringing everybody together, saying that we're all beautiful no matter what it is that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I should point out that you guys were all posing in Knicks wear. You were all wearing underwear and no retouching, right?
Yeah, there was no retouching. And we had the event two nights ago. And so our pictures were all blown up. And so I'm just there and it's extremely vulnerable, but I loved it because you could see my stretch marks. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see different things about my body that no other campaign or, you know, public forum has ever shown of me, right? So I've been on magazines and on television and they've always been retouched or covered. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time it was there. I saw it and other people saw it and it was beautiful because everybody's like, you're gorgeous, you know, you're beautiful. And so for us to all see each other with our imperfections, and I say that in quotations, it was really dope. I thought it was beautiful.
And was it in support of
CAMH? I feel like there's such a negative stigma with mental health still. Mm-hmm. So I think it's beautiful. Everybody thinks that if you have mental health issues, you know, you're crazy or this or that. And it's just, so that's really, really messed up. So the fact that she's doing that and she's making it a very open conversation, I think is really, really needed.
There are a lot of campaigns that are about the idea of inclusivity right now. There are billboards at Dundas Square for with Sephora. What do you think's the difference between a campaign like that works, or do you ever see some that you're just like, this feels really kind of like a marketing trend?
Yeah, I feel like as a woman of color, because I'm plus size and I'm a woman of color, you know what I mean? So I hit kind of two brackets. I feel like a lot of campaigns that I've been on or shoots that I've done, I felt like the token. It wasn't like, it wasn't like they were trying to show or cater to me specifically or the people that look like me. They're just like, you know what? We need somebody that's just going to make this a little bit cooler. So let's just have the token like black girl or this or that. And I'm just kind of like, I'm more than that, you know? And
for sure.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. And I find that happens a lot in beauty as well. I think it's getting a little better now, but it's the same thing that she's saying. Like there's always just that token black girl and then amongst like a bunch of other white girls. And it's like, tokenism isn't inclusivity. Like, you know, someone in a boardroom in marketing might think it is, and they'll be like, oh, wait, no, we forgot this one, like, you know, person of color. And they just throw them in. And from a person that is a part of that community, you can really, really tell when it's genuine and when it's just a marketing scheme. And I think a brand that did such an amazing job, and I know everyone always brings this up, but Fenty Beauty, not only were they inclusive with their shade range, but their marketing campaigns, you know, there was a model, a woman of color, she was bald and she had a gap in her tooth. You never really see that. There was a black hijabi in there. There was an Asian girl. There were obviously some beautiful white girls as well. There was just like, they hit every single community, and it was just so special to see that. Like, it was the first time I've ever seen a woman of color hijabi in a marketing campaign for beauty. And that was like so special for my community. And I think when brands really, really connect with their audience on a very like authentic way, that it, that goes so much more further than just like, you know, throwing someone in for the sake of inclusivity.
I think it's also maybe about if the products that they're representing or what it is that they're representing are actually like inclusive in themselves. You know what I mean? Like, does it feel like a genuine connection? That's maybe it's, that's why Fenty nailed it, because it was seriously truly, you know, doing what it was saying.
And like, I've done some work for like lingerie lines and, you know, underwear and all that stuff. And, you know, they always say nude, but nude for people that are of darker skin isn't the same nude. And I've said that, and as a model, I've been told, like, listen, you're just there. You don't have a mind. You don't have a voice. Just
stand there. Look
just
pretty.
Stand there and look cute, right? And I have, I try to, I never want to be condescending to people, but I do try to let people know, like, listen, like, you guys, you know, there is a whole different market of people that you could be reaching out to, because, like, there's no nude for darker skinned people. It's very rare to find. And if there is, it's expensive. Exactly. Like, I was at Nordstrom and I found like this bralette that was, I think, $95. And it matched my skin tone, but I'm a student. I'm broke. You know what I mean? So
Like, I want to go to Aerie and I want to go to, like, I don't know, Levine Rose or somewhere like that and find a shade, not some indie brand online that sells things for like, you know, $100.
So you can tell. You can tell with the brand.
I feel like the steps are being made, but there's still a long way to go. So speaking of sort of things that are making headlines, still having this cultural moment where, you know, Kim Kardashian is going on social media and saying thank you when her sister says she looks anorexic and she name checked her weight at 118 pounds. And a lot of people were just talking about how that is just so dangerous. And then, but on the flip side of that, you have Rihanna who's saying she's thick Anna and that she's like, if you want a butt, you also need a gut. And that, you know, she's on the cover of British Vogue and she was talking about how even though she's actually more relatable because she has a few extra pounds on her. So do you guys have any thoughts about that? If it's sort of dangerous or if it's just the moment we're in right now?
So I feel like it's a cultural thing. I feel like where you come from within the black community, the thicker you are, you know, the more banging you are, which kind of sucks too, because there are a lot of black girls with no ass. I don't have an ass, you know, but I have boobs.
But it's thick to a certain extent. It's like you can't reach this point before you start looking fat. And you can't, and that was in quotes, by the way, I'm not calling anyone fat. But you know, it's like it's still an ideology. Like,
exactly. You know, I did ballet for 19 years. I danced all around Canada, and I was around predominantly white girls my age, and they were throwing up in the bathroom, and there would be a couple of them that had, you know, nice big bums, because where I came from, the nicer your ass, the bigger your ass, the nicer it is. And a lot of them like, oh my God, ew, no, I wish I could get rid of it. And they were starving themselves. And I'm like, do you know how many guys would line up to be with you? So it just depends on, I guess, where you come from. But it just makes me sad because, you know, Kim is saying I'm 100 and what'd she say? 18?
118.
Okay. So weight is the worst. Like for you to step on a scale, that's just a scale, is the most dangerous thing you can do for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because I went to a gym, I don't remember. And they weighed my body mass, my water, fat and all that kind of stuff. And they said that, you know, you weigh this amount, but you have to kind of break it up because for your height and, you know, the muscle mass, I have a lot more muscle mass. And mm-hmm. I'm like, so I'm not like totally fat. He's like, no, you have a lot of muscle underneath. And so I think it's just very dangerous to say I weigh this and this is how much I should be. Like, I think it's bad.
And yeah. Also, Kim is like 5 foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's so like five. Small.
She's tiny. Yeah. So like 119 pounds, like might be good for her body type, but like say for a young girl else, that's yeah. like, I don't know, 5'6", 5'7", that's like, oh my God, she's 119. I need to get to that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the same, like, you know, it's just dangerous that she like put that weight out and so many people look up to her.
She still has a body that's like one in a million. Like yeah. it's not realistic to yeah. have a waist that is that tiny exactly. and then a butt like that and boobs like that.
I refuse to believe that she didn't have any surgery. Like I think yeah. a couple years ago she went on the show and mm-hmm. she showed her bum.
She yeah. x-rayed her ass.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit. She totally. That if you look at pictures from her from 2009 to now,
yeah. it's very unproportionate.
She looks like an ant now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to shame her or anything. Like mm-hmm. that's what you like, but it's not,
I mean,
realistic.
Her body's banging. In, but yeah, it's one thing to be like, guys, my body's real, like you can attain this with workout or like good like diet and exercise. Exactly. But like J-Lo. Girls are like, okay, well, yeah, she didn't have plastic surgery, so I can look like that. Exactly. I'm gonna wear a waist trainer every single day to make my, you know, waist look this small, my yeah. butt look this big.
So it's lies. Like, it's not toxic. Cool. Yeah. Social media lies. It's not good.
I think the problem, one of them too, is when you have conversations, when you use weight as any sort of currency, whether it be exactly. beauty currency or social currency, a sexual currency, anything like that, what that does is when you grow up with that in the back of your head, mm-hmm. it's almost like being an addict in some ways too, mm-hmm. where you cannot, like every day is a fight to change the discourse around your own mental narrative. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm 33 now, but I had the stomach flu last week and week before for 10 days. So I lost 10 pounds. So logical me is like, you need to like bulk up on your protein, have fruits and vegetables because you're obviously malnourished because you were very sick. But the part of me that was like grew up overhearing conversations between other women, conversations between family members, conversations in magazines before they got like when they woke, before they woke up or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me now that's just like, you look so skinny. This is so great. This mm-hmm. is good. You could probably get even thinner. Mm-hmm. And like I've played with that my whole life where I've like lost my period and I've gotten like very ill because you are so dictated by what it means to be thin and have a certain body type yeah. that, and you don't even, and it's not for you. It's always for something. It's always for other people. It's yeah. always for like, I mean, as a straight woman, like it's for the male gaze. Or if in terms of friendship, you're like, well, I'm hot enough to hang out with them now. So I can go to the club with them because like they're all hot, but now I won't look bad in photos with them. Mm-hmm. And it's like basically untraining yourself every day. Like every day you have to yeah. be like, why, where is this conversation coming from?
Well, and it's also for Instagram, which is so image driven. Yeah. And so many young women want to be like their own Instagram stars. And I think, I find it very difficult right now to be like, we're in an era of body positivity, which is fantastic, like completely here for that. And but then at the same time, it's like, how do I reconcile? I really want to lose 10 pounds right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I struggle with that. I'm just like, am I a total hypocrite or what?
No, I think it's actually like a lot of self-reflection of asking yourself, what do those 10 pounds represent? Like, what is it that you think is going to happen when you lose those 10 pounds? Yeah. Do you think you're going to, like, are you going to be happier? Are you going to get that promotion that you want? Why do we hang so much worth on weight?
I feel like I'd be more confident to answer that question. I know that was like probably, yeah. you know, rhetorical, but I think it's about confidence. You know what I mean? And maybe it's also like, I think a lot of people would love to lose 10 pounds, mm-hmm. but for myself, like I've had 2 kids, so I have that thing with my stomach where it's like the muscles teared, so mm-hmm. I constantly look pregnant. And I mean, it's really difficult.
I don't think there's a problem with being body positive and still wanting to lose weight. I think those are two separate conversations, in my opinion, because I was very body positive and confident in myself. You know, I'm on a weight journey, a weight loss journey this year. So at the beginning of the year, I was 25 pounds heavier. I was still very confident. You know, I rocked my shit. But now that I'm like 25 pounds lighter, I am still body positive. Like there's no... Yeah, maybe I gained a little more confidence, but I think that also goes back to like, I just wanted to get healthy again. Yeah. You know, like I was very lazy. I never went to the gym. It wasn't always about weight. And I think I had to train my mentality for that. And, you know, my trainer really helped me with that because she's like, you have to stop looking at the scale. Mm-hmm. Because the scale is one thing, you know, when I'm, this might be TMI, but like when I'm about to get my period the week before, I'm literally 7 pounds heavier.
Yeah, same.
And the second my period ends, I'm 7 pounds lighter. So it's like, you really have to take yourself out of that and be like, weight is not the only thing. If you are healthy, if you feel healthy, if you're confident in yourself, if you're body positive, you know, and you still want to lose weight, that's totally fine.
I think we also like, and I know I've done this. This is why I say like, when you equate worth to weight, you project your ideals of what you don't have onto a person that seems to like embody physically all of the things that you want. Mm-hmm. So like you'll see, say like this girl over here and she's, you're like, oh my God, she looks so great in those pants. Oh, I bet she's like, look, she can wear that. She seems so confident, blah, blah, blah. And now she has all these Twitter followers. So she's doing this. It's like, but you don't know, we don't know anybody's life. Like exactly. Everybody's journey is their own. And I think when we like, there's no, even when we talk about like correct body positivity versus like not, it's like, maybe we need to like literally talk about our at what point are we going to actually let go of the idea that some sort of like a type of physicality equates positivity or freedom or confidence, et cetera, because it's like, everybody's body is very unique and everybody's story is very unique and everybody's history is very unique. And it's like, when you see somebody, you're like, you don't know what's going on up there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Or what it is they're battling, or even how dangerous it can be after you see someone who's lost weight and being like, you look great. Well, for me, immediately I'm like, oh, okay, great. And you're like, logically you was like, stop. And then the other part is like, yeah, but if I'm exuding like that, here's what it means. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but that's, we like, that's what I mean when I'm like, this feels like it is a literal centuries old problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always ongoing.
It is always ongoing.
It's just, you got to learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. You need to keep the voices at bay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I myself, I feel like the healthier I am, the more weight that I have lost, but at the same time, I'm not doing it to lose weight necessarily. It's more so like, I want to eat healthy and I want to work out. And I was talking to one of my really good friends. I don't want to say her name because, you know, she,
fair.
I don't want to say her name, but she was telling me, you know, she's a plus size blogger. And there was a time last year where she had lost a ton of weight and she was so, so skinny. And she was doing it in a way where she was stressed and she was saying that she was manic. She was going through a lot of things. And everybody's like, you look fabulous. You look great.
Yeah.
But like you said, behind closed doors, she was telling me this. And I didn't know that she was going through all that. But she's like, I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. I was literally eating like barely nothing for a whole week. I'm like, wow, that is dangerous. But all her friends were like, you look fantastic. Yeah. And she's so tall. So she looks like a model anyway, whatever that means. But yeah, so I think it's just, for me, I just want to look nice in my clothing and just feel confident. That doesn't have anything to do with pounds on a scale, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Before we close it out, we need to trade some beauty tips. Like, we have to. This is a beauty podcast. Sure. And Aisha, we're going to start with you.
Yeah.
Because we've been obsessed with your skin. And I also want to know about your brows. So please, take it away.
Okay. Tell us everything. You're not leaving until you tell us everything.
So skin is like my number one concern before beauty, before makeup and everything else. Because I feel like if your skin's looking good, everything else will look good. And I've been like a skincare freak since I was like 17. So you know what? This might be very excessive, but have you guys heard of like the 10-step Korean skincare routine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It works. It it might sound very excessive, but like, so I cleanse with an oil, then I cleanse, like I double cleanse, mm-hmm. and then I put on a toner, I put on a serum, an essence, a moisturizer. Like there's a lot of steps that go into it. One of my favorite brands is Caudalie. So I use their Veno Perfect Serum, and I feel like that's what gives me like the really glowing skin.
Is that the new one that just came
out? No, it's not that. Okay. It came out last year. It was like the Sephora VIB gift.
Tube.
Yeah. They just introduced something new, Veno Pure, and it's like the texture.
I love
wonderful. Everything
from Caudalie. Yeah, so that's for skincare, and then always remember sunscreen. Like sunscreen will be your best friend for wrinkles, it'll be your best friend for hyperpigmentation, everything.
What one do you like? I know that finding it once it's not ashy for darker skin is a real challenge.
So for the past year, I've been testing like literally so many sunscreens. Like I made that my mission, and I just posted a video probably about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Just comparing different sunscreens. I personally like chemical sunscreens as opposed to physical. The chemical ones don't give you that white cast or like that purpley hue.
They do go on better. Are you talking about strictly SPFs or moisturizers daily moisturizer with
strictly
SPF?
Strictly SPF. I use two separate ones. Okay, so a really great one I'm wearing it today is the Neutrogena Hydro Boost. It's from the drugstore. It's like $10.
Yeah.
A high-end one that I really like, it's a brand called Super Goop. I think they're, I don't know if they're available in Canada, to be honest.
No, and
but
I need to
bomb.
Try this.
They're so good. I love their SPF. But with foundation wise, like makeup, I personally, a beauty blender is my thing. Like don't apply foundation with a brush. I don't know how people do it. It's just a beauty blender makes it look so seamless. I wish that I was wearing foundation so that you could see. But
you don't need it though.
I was gonna say you don't.
That would just be like a waste. Like,
your skin now is what I try to attain with makeup. So you're good.
Thank you. It took a while to get to this point because I did like have a lot of dark spots and hyperpigmentation because I wasn't
really
wearing
sunscreen. That's what I deal with right now, actually. Like it's darker around my mouth and like here.
And do you wear sunscreen?
No. So you have to teach me.
It gets so the thing with sunscreen and why I talk about it on and on, I never used to wear sunscreen, is not only will it help with like aging and stuff, but it'll also help with just like dark spots. So say for example, I get pimples sometimes, and then when they go away, if I'm not wearing sunscreen, they get darker, they leave a dark mark.
Yeah,
sunscreen kind of covers that because the sun is very damaging and it'll make those dark spots deeper.
Yeah,
so when you kind of have that layer, then you put your foundation over top, that it just slowly, and then using vitamin C's to kind of lighten those spots. That's just kind of how I've like really
like she was saying, because it makes darker skin look ashy, that's why I never wore it. I'm like, I don't want to look purple, so like I always stated,
I'll send you that video, girl.
Perfect. Yeah.
So Benefit, Precisely My Brow, it's like a really teeny tiny pencil. It's like one of the retractable ones. I love that. I use so this is my tip. I use a slightly lighter shade than what you would assume. So you'd assume like a deep brown brow. I use like kind of like a medium brown, and I find it like it looks more natural that way, and always set with a clear brow gel. I just brush them all up, and it just makes your brows look like hairier, if that makes sense. And that's my two things.
And what about you? We didn't get your beauty tips.
Oh heavens.
We didn't describe, but you always have this great retro
today. Well, when it's humid, don't even bother. Like it's not gonna work out for you in 15 minutes. But on a normal nice day, I use like just a brown eyeshadow and brush to fill in my brows, and then I use a clear mascara to like set it. And then I live and die by Fenty highlighter. Ooh. Because it's Fenty and it's
trophy
highlighter.
Wife?
Actually, that's for if I'm like feeling special. Yeah. this is like the blush and the highlighter that comes together, and you like just go for it. I do love a bold lip. It's really hot today. So if you guys saw me, you'd be like, she's not wearing makeup. And it's like true, because otherwise I will sweat it all off. I love a little understated cat's eye. You don't need to go full Winehouse because that's just not going to – I used to do that, and I'm like, oh, my God. You looked as fucked up as you were. So, like, I played the part.
But you're lucky. You have the eyes for it.
I also have to put on sunscreen because I actually avoid the sun because I'm very –
I'm as tanned as I'm ever gonna get.
Yeah. Little known fact about Anne, you hate. It was actually a well known fact. You hate summer.
The summer.
What?
It makes me feel so sick. Like I'm really bad in heat. Like no I get way. Really. I get heat exhaustion so easily.
So when's your favorite time of the year?
Fall and winter.
Fall, yes.
Oh my okay, god. Not winter. Fall, yes. Fall's
good. I own a lot of vintage fur coats. Okay. So I'm kind of like, this is my time.
Yeah.
I dye and cut my own hair. Believe it or not.
No way.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. So.
And are your nails real? Because yeah. they are amazing.
Wow. These
are
I was real. Looking at them.
Oh, thank you.
They look great. You don't wash dishes.
I do. But this is the Essie gel polish.
Oh, so does it stay on longer?
It stays on for a week.
Gel concealer.
Okay. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. And then, I mean, I keep it like concealer. I have my powder. I'm also very, like, it's almost like a very traditional, like, retro 60s
yeah,
era.
Yeah, you've got a Mad Men thing going on.
What's your favorite you? Red lipstick?
MAC okay. has my fave. I'm Live or Die Lady Danger.
Yes.
Love Lady Danger. Yeah. Right now, though, the Fenty Glass Bomb is my, like, summer vibe.
I love that.
Because it's so perfect.
Literally perfect.
And also, you get the, it's hot, so you get the line with lipstick, and that is ugly, and I don't want to do that to other people. I don't care because I can't see it, but other people can see it, and nobody should have to look at that.
We got your DIY tip, but what's in your makeup bag?
Honestly,
right now?
I'm looking at these two and I'm just like taking notes because I'm a hot mess. I don't
know. You're not.
I don't. Honestly,
I love your lipstick color. So let's start with that. What are you wearing on your lips?
So here's the thing.
So good.
I don't buy brand name anything, and that's not because I don't want to. It's just because, like I said, I go to the beauty supply store and I find just things match my skin tone a lot more at the beauty supply store. Do you guys know what that is, by the way? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's like where they sell like hair, weave, hair products, but it's they also like have a lot
gem
of
gem place that people need to know about.
If you're willing to go out a little bit. Yeah. There's this really good one. It's called Cora's and it's on Shepherd and
is it Clora? You said,
is it Clora or Cora?
Clora. Clore or whatever.
Clore, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Shepherd and
Shepherd and
Finch?
Markham
no,
Road.
Sorry.
Markham
yeah,
Road.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So they have a lot of cool stuff. And so I actually don't wear lipstick. What I do is I get a liner and I use that as a base, a brown, and then I get a darker brown and I line my lips. And lately I've been into this like 2000s glossy lip thing going
on.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I came in, I look cuter, but yeah, I don't know. I just, as long as my brows and my skin is dewy and my lips are popping.
What
I'm
lashes
pretty good.
Are you wearing?
You know, what's funny. I got these for $2.
Well, they look great.
Well, I love your lips, but you should really get them done.
I know. Right? 100%. My mom's like, give me the name of that makeup artist.
Honestly,
I'm gonna smack her.
I'm like, I need,
drag them to hell.
Yeah, she's going on Reddit.
Thank you, everybody, for
of course.
Joining us.
Of course.
Today. Breaking
this was
Beauty
so
Podcast.
Much fun.
Yeah, yes. No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.